Welcome to another exciting show here with me, Carmel Fisher, where we bring you all the due diligence, nuggets of information that you need to make sure you're keeping ahead of the volatile markets out there. Today, we're excited to spotlight CEO Frank Hallam from Platinum Group Metals. They are listed on NYSE as PLG and also on the TSX as PTM. Frank, welcome.
Thank you, Carmel. It's nice to be here today. Thank you for spending some time with me.
Yeah, excited to learn more. It's quite an intriguing project you guys have going over there in the Waterberg area of South Africa. So the Waterberg project, to give a little bit more intel to our listeners, is described as potentially one of the world's largest and lowest cost PGM operations. Walk us through what makes this project so unique, especially its mechanized approach, and how this positions Platinum Group Metals differently in that South African mining landscape while hinting at your broader mission and vision.
Yes, well, one of the first things we can do is talk about the industry in South Africa to get a bit of an understanding about why Waterberg's important. The platinum industry in South Africa provides about 70% of the world's platinum, and it's mined primarily in two mineralized layers, or reefs as we call them, that being the Merensky Reef and the UG2 Reef. And so they're typically mined at about 1 to 3 meters thick. And they're getting deeper now. They've been mining there in these zones for 50 to 100 years. And so it's very heavily labor intensive. It's a very hard work. It's dangerous work. Going to Waterberg, we discovered the deposit in 2011. It's a brand new discovery. It's shallow, about 140 meters vertical. But the most important feature about it is it's thick. It's over 100 meters thick in places. And so, because it's shallow and it's thick, we can access the deposit with declines, kind of like a tunnel going into a mountain, rather than with a vertical shaft. So, it's safer, it's cheaper. You can use machinery, you can use remote mucking, you can use large trucks, you can use multiple drill jumbos, all of these things. They're kind of like force multipliers for men, if you will. So we can mine with far fewer people. We can keep them away from the rock face, and we can let the machines do the work. And so it's very efficient, it's low cost, and it's safe. And so that's really the most important factor about the deposit. Up on the north limb where Waterberg is, that's really where a lot of people think the future of the industry is going. And that's because the thick deposits are found up there. That's the Mogalakwena mine for Anglo American and Ivanhoe's Platreef project. And these are all relatively new as far as the industry goes. And it's going to transform or revolutionize the industry in the future as we move to these bulk mechanized mines.
Very interesting. It's almost as if this mine has taken on an AI approach of its own, with low cost, having the ability to do things quicker with less resources. So very intriguing. And coming from South Africa myself, I'm very familiar with these names you're throwing out. But another interesting part to your company is that you're pursuing both traditional PGM mining and cutting edge battery technology, which is through that Lion Battery Technologies. Now, what's the vision of how these dual strategies complement each other? How might the lithium sulfur battery innovation potentially transform both the business model and shareholder value?
Sure. Yeah, that's an interesting question. Well, as a lot of your viewers will know, battery electric vehicles are becoming, part of the domestic fleet of vehicles, part of the light duty vehicle fleet around the world. And there's been a lot of anticipation that electric vehicles will take over the marketplace. And a lot of projections are, had thought that 30, 40, 50% of the market would be battery electric vehicles by the time we got into the 2030s. And so when we looked at that a few years ago, we wondered, what role can PGMs, platinum, palladium, rhodium, gold, what role can they play in an electric vehicle? And if you could find a use for these metals in that application, you would be changing a threat to an opportunity. And the reason it's a threat, catalytic converters for an internal combustion engine, so your traditional vehicle, they use PGMs as the catalyst to help clean the air, to clean the emissions, as it were. So that's a very big source of demand for PGMs. And so if battery electric vehicles were to erode the market for PGMs in auto catalysts, that would be bad for demand. So using lion battery as a thesis, we're looking for ways to create new demand for these metals. And by doing a bit of research, we found that there was already a group at Florida International University that were using compounds of PGMs as a treatment on the cathode of a traditional lithium ion battery and getting some very interesting results. And by doing a bit of research and a bit of discussion with them, we learned that there was some application in lithium sulfur batteries that could be really interesting. And the reason for that is that a lithium sulfur battery is extremely cheap relative to a lithium ion battery because you thrift out things like cobalt, manganese, nickel. So all of those expensive metals are gone and you're left with lithium, sulfur, and carbon, and a few other things. But it's a much cheaper battery and it has very high energy density. In fact, on the periodic table, if you look at the electrochemistry, the theoretical energy density of a lithium sulfur battery is amongst the highest that you could possibly have. So you've got very good energy density and this cheap cost. So the problem with lithium sulfur batteries has always been, despite these great numbers, they only cycle a handful of times before they fail. And that's just because of the nature of the chemistry. And I won't get into it all. I'm a bit of a neophyte at it. We've got specialists that work on that. But the important thing is that these treatments of PGMs actually stop the process that causes the battery to short out and fail. So we're able to create a lithium sulfur battery with PGM compounds that cycles for many hundreds of cycles relative to what normally happens. And that's the exciting opportunity. So if you can refine that lithium sulfur battery using PGMs and bring it to commercialization, eventually bring it into the automotive industry, you could create n new demand for these metals, which would support our Waterberg project. And of course, Waterberg is it's big, it's thick, it's got a huge long mine life on the current reserves, 54-year mine life on resources, you'd go for 100 years. So we're quite interested in developing the market going forward and helping to create these new sources of demand for product. So that's a really interesting diversification for us. And we also see value in Lion. We could if we could get these processes that I'm talking about, we've worked on and patented, so we now control the rights to them. If we could then say license or put these technologies and these processes out for earnings through royalties and licensing, or maybe sell Lion altogether, that would be a value add and opportunity for our shareholders as well.
Interesting, and yeah, it sounds like definitely a lot of longevity there and high value, for sure. So on the future demand, you touched on that, but historically, platinum, as we all know, has been historically undervalued compared to gold. So what other fundamental factors do you believe investors are overlooking about the platinum's future demand, especially as it relates to green energy transition, hydrogen fuel cell technology? Talk to us a little bit more about that.
Sure. It's interesting. Well, actually, historically, platinum has traded at a premium to gold. And it's been in more recent years that gold has surpassed the price of platinum. And there's a few things that have come to play about that. It's really interesting. If you look at the Earth's crust, if you look at mineral deposits on the planet, what's available in the surface of the Earth, gold is actually 30 times more common than platinum. So platinum's actually very rare, and if you were just going on a rarity basis, it should be valued more than gold. Of course, over the years, platinum has become important because of its catalytic properties and other properties. It's become very important in a lot of industrial applications. A lot of the consumer goods that we all use have platinum in the equipment that actually creates them. Some 20 or 25% of all consumer products can trace their roots back through a production process that uses PGMs, which is fascinating. So you've got that sort of base industrial demand. You've got rarity. Platinum is very, 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 very effective and very beautiful in jewelry. So you'll see a lot of jewelry applications, particularly where diamonds are involved, because the claws of a platinum piece of jewelry hold the diamond very, very well and reflect beautifully through the back of the diamond. So it's very popular in jewelry. And then you've had investment demand over the years. So for all those reasons, until recently, platinum actually traded at a premium to gold. Now we spoke about battery electric vehicles and the anticipation or the projection that these battery vehicles would reduce the demand for platinum as auto catalysis in the future is reduced. Well, that's not happening the way people expected, but it still has put a bit of a damper on the market for platinum and palladium. And so that combined then with some of the geopolitical events we've seen over the last number of years, has created a very strong demand for gold. Gold is seen as an investment that provides a hedge against inflation, and it's sort of a safe harbor in times of uncertainty. So gold has picked up and surpassed platinum in recent years in value, and more recently we've seen $3,400 gold because of all the things that are going on in the world. So we have seen that occur, and I think in the future, perhaps as geopolitics settle down and as the outlook for these metals is enhanced through things like the hydrogen economy and the green economy and demand becomes more robust. There's a good possibility we'll see platinum regain that title over gold as the more valuable metal, but time will tell. Our view and the view of a lot of analysts is that is platinum is currently undervalued relative to its true inherent value.
Totally understand and agree. Let's move on to global sustainability initiatives now and the acceleration thereof. How can you help us understand how Platinum Group Metals is aligning itself with these sustainability trends and adapting your strategy to the changing demand patterns?
Sure. Well, I mean, we've heard about Li-ion batteries, so that's one way to both diversify and to pursue these initiatives that you mentioned. But it's interesting things like battery electric vehicles, for example. We've talked a lot about them. Some of the metals that are needed for those vehicles include copper and nickel, as well as the PGMs. And at Waterberg, we have a very diversified basket of metals. Platinum, palladium, rhodium, gold, copper, nickel, all of those are to be used in the future economy, the green economy, the hydrogen economy. And by simply developing the project in the best way possible, we're already aligning ourselves with the demand that will come with those new economies, as you mentioned. So it's really it's very simple. Get the mine built and producing as efficiently as possible to supply these metals to the future economy. And follow opportunities like Li-ion battery to create new sources of demand that also enhance the situation for our shareholders.
And that's you looking and helping us to look at the near-term goals of securing construction financing and concentrate offtake agreements for the Waterberg project. Let's talk about that and the milestones that investors should be watching for, like I said, in the next 12 to 18 months, that could signal significant progress in bringing this project toward production.
Sure. Yeah, we recently completed a feasibility study update. So we updated all of our costs, capital, and operating, had all of our equipment details updated, refined the mine plan, both in terms of scheduling and safety and various other things. So we've positioned ourselves to move forward into a production decision. What we need before that can occur is what we call concentrate offtake. So at the mine site, we take the ore, we crush it, we float out the sulfides, so all of the metallic particles we float out, and then we separate those into a cake and then dry it. And so we produce what's called a concentrate. It's like a powder of all the metallic particles that have come out of the ore. So in order to process that, you'd normally sell that to a smelter. And that's what we call concentrate offtake. Somebody's going to buy the concentrate and they melt it and then they put it through a converter and then refine it, and you end up with your metals in final saleable form. So, in order to finance the project, we need one of the existing producers in South Africa to buy the concentrate and process it. Well, we're in a very long and lengthy, heated discussion with all of the producers in South Africa. They all have their own objectives and strategies. Waterberg is a big mine, a long life mine, a low cost mine. It would be a very large portion of smelting capacity for the existing producers, and so we have not been able to establish terms on a fair basis with any of them. So we have been working on alternatives. One of them involves going to Saudi Arabia or establishing our own processing facilities. So if anybody who studies the company will see that we've talked a lot about that over the last year or so. And looking forward, that's going to be a really big milestone. If we establish fair terms for concentrate offtake or establish a plan and an investment strategy to build our own facilities, that will be really big news. Other things that we're looking at, we are looking at the possibility of beginning development into the ore body. So that would be called a phase one development. So putting the declines in, developing the first sub-level, beginning trial mining to get the project underway. That would be an important step moving forward. And going back to Lion Battery again, I mean, watch for more patents and more work on commercialization and more art opportunities, maybe strategic partnerships, that sort of thing. We already have a strategic partner, Anglo American Platinum. They're basically 50-50 with us in Lion Battery. They see a lot of the same opportunities that we do, and so they're investing shoulder to shoulder with us in Lion. So I would say things, any one of those three things to be a big milestone to watch for in the next 12 or 18 months.
Excellent. We'll be keeping our eye very closely on that and the developing company story. Frank Hallam, President and CEO of Platinum Group Metals, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Carmel.
Excited again. Find Platinum Group Metals on the NYSE as PLG and TSX as PTM. This has been a great conversation with CEO Frank Hallam, and you guys stay tuned for more.
Brought to you, as always, by The Harvest Podcast, available anywhere you listen to podcasts.